I feel clumsy entering into such a peaceful atmosphere after such beautiful music and in the presence of our Lord. But maybe if you could pray for me just for a moment that I won't break the peace, but hopefully with a few words lead you into a deeper peace and a deeper trust in our Lord. And let's ask Our Lady to help us as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to read to you from the Gospel that we'll hear again if you stay for Mass, and start leading you into a meditation on that Gospel. But I want to start with the last line. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." We miss a little bit because we speak English. In the Greek, the verb, may it be done to me, is a particular tense. You know how we have present tense and future tense and past tense and subjunctive and all of these other things. Well, it's a particular tense in Greek that doesn't exist in English. And we could translate it also as something like, I want it to be done to me according to your word. The way that we hear it is often a kind of surrender, like, oh, I suppose if it has to be this way. But there's actually an eagerness, a desire, an intensity in Our Lady's embracing the will of God. She's not just laying over and playing dead. She's really actively saying, yes, what you said to me, I want that to happen. And I start with the last line first because at this point, I would like for all of us to be thinking, how do I get there? How do I get to the point that I can be like Our Lady and say, yes, I want this. I want the will of God. I want this thing that is taking place to me. I want what is about to unfold. We might just immediately dismiss it because we say, well, Our Lady was perfect and she had it all together and there's no hope for me. But that wouldn't be Christian. It wouldn't be Catholic. To understand Our Lady, to understand the model that she is for us, although she's fully transformed by grace, all of us also are receiving the same grace. And all of us are meant to become more like what she is. So she holds up a model for us, not a kind of unachievable plastic statue somewhere beyond reach. But it's precisely what the process of transformation and growth in holiness, it's precisely what happens if we live our Christian lives to the full, we will become more like her. So when we hear that, let's already try to take hold of it. I want to have that kind of trust in God that I can say with enthusiasm, yes, I want it to be done to me like that. Just the way that you want it to be done to me, God, that's the way I want it to be done to me. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we get there? Let me read the rest of the account now and see where Our Lady started from, and she gives us a few points along the journey. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I want to pause there because there's something very important that we just read over. We know what the end of this story is because I already read that line and told you about it, and even gave you a little Greek lesson in the process. Where does it start? It starts with Mary being greatly troubled. Greatly troubled. Another way to translate that is greatly perplexed. She's confused. She doesn't get it, and she certainly doesn't feel good about it. That's our starting point. Our starting point is that something is being presented to her that is confusing and troubling, and she doesn't feel good about it. And now maybe that helps us to take a step closer and realize she's not some kind of plastic model that came shrink-wrapped from heaven. She's human. She has flesh. Her heart is made of flesh, and she gets troubled. That word troubled in Greek, deeply troubled, it's one word, deeply troubled. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the whole Bible. Nobody else was deeply troubled like she was deeply troubled. And so her being deeply troubled actually goes deeper than all of us. Not only is it like us, it even goes deeper than all of us. You think you've been deeply troubled? You got nothing on her. That's what the scripture is saying to us. That word tessaro in Greek is troubled, and then dia is added to the front of it, which is the prefix for through. She's troubled all through, we might say in Pittsburgh. Troubled all through. It cuts to the heart and it goes all the way through her. There's like, it's one thing to be punctured, it's another thing to be pierced. She's pierced through with this greeting, with this encounter with the angel. Deeply troubled. So that helps us to see how much she connects with us, how close she is to us, because we have a lot of things that deeply trouble us. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And we can see how the angel interprets her experience, fear. "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now we might think that that's enough. I mean, if you get news like that, what's left to say, really? But Our Lady is still, she's still deeply troubled. The angel consoles her. "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have a grace. You found favor with God. You have a gift." And then he explains further, "You will conceive and bear a son and name him Jesus. He'll be the Son of the Most High. He'll reign forever." This is not really helping to clear up the confusion, probably. I don't think any of us have a category for that. "Oh, that's going to happen to me. Right, right. I heard about that somewhere." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. And then we hear that last line that I read already. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me. I want this, as you have said, according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. What happened? How did Mary get from being deeply troubled, greatly perplexed, pierced all through, to this place that she could enthusiastically embrace the will of God? And I would like to propose just a simple thing. She stayed there. She stayed there. She didn't run away. She questioned, she reflected, she struggled. She stayed there. And if we can hold on to that one point, to stay in it, not to run, not to hide, not to avoid, to stay in it. And that includes feeling it. That includes struggling with it. That includes thinking through it. That includes praying through it. If we can stay in it with the Lord and not run from Him, things work out. Clarity comes. Pope Emeritus Benedict has produced one substantial work since he retired. It's a conversation with an author, Peter Zeewolde, with whom he's had now 5 book-length interviews. And in that interview, Peter Zeewolde asked him, "Did you ever experience the dark night of the soul?" And Pope Emeritus Benedict said, "I don't know if I experienced it so intensely as the mystical authors describe it, probably because I'm not that holy and I don't pray that deeply." Right, whatever. So he says, "But I experienced times of darkness and doubt, times of difficulty, especially in facing suffering, in facing especially the suffering of the innocent. Why did these bad things happen to people? Why did they go through the things that they go through? And they troubled me and I didn't understand the mystery of iniquity. But I always found that if I stayed inside, if I stayed in the midst of it, if I stayed in the darkness, in the confusion, in the uncertainty, a light always managed to pierce through it, and I came to a deeper understanding." That's what Our Lady does in this passage. She stays inside. I want to invite you, as we take a little bit more time in adoration, by connecting a few points that you might be able to pray with. Asking, first of all, where's the place in your life that you're deeply troubled? Where's the place in your life that a pain, a sorrow, a struggle, confusion grips your heart? Where's the place that you want to run away from? This is the time to get in touch with that. And just to be vulnerable and personal, as I was praying up here and thinking about my own life, just a week ago, I lost my mother, whom I love very much. There were so many beautiful things about her death and so many ways that I could console myself, kind of like the angel does. "Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. There was a grace there. But there's a lot of pain. I'll never touch my mother again. I never even thought about that before she died. I never thought about the one thing, you know, I have pictures of her. I have videos of her. I can hear her voice. I can see images of her. But I'll never touch her again." Maybe the pain is more poignant because I touched her so much while she was alive. especially, she suffered for many years from Parkinson's, and she was affected by a dementia that's associated with Parkinson's, and we got to a point several years ago that we couldn't really have a conversation, but I could still hold her hand and kiss her cheek and just sit next to her, put an arm on her shoulder, hug her, and I can't do that anymore. And as I'm just experiencing the grieving process, it was very, very beautiful that I could be with her when she died, and very painful to have that final farewell. I believe in faith that I can still talk to her, but she can't respond to me the same way. And I find myself overcome by tears at different times. But I find that light comes when I stay in it. It's very easy for me to be busy with a lot of things. Those of you who know me know that I'm very busy. I have lots of good things to do and ways to occupy my time. But I need to go into it. I need to go into the pain. I need to go in to feel it, to be confused. Why does this have to happen? And when will I ever see my mother again? And how will that embrace be in the resurrection? And engage faith and hope, but feel human loss and let it touch my heart, to stay in it. Now, I do have to function like I'm doing right now. I wasn't sure how this was going to go when I started talking, but apparently the Lord doesn't want me to break down in front of you. But I can function and I can move on. But especially times of prayer like this are so beautiful. And I was crying while I was kneeling there, just feeling some of these things. Times of prayer are very beautiful times to enter back into those places of being deeply troubled. Those places where we're perplexed, those places that hurt, those places where we don't have answers. Maybe that's our path in life. Maybe that's this place of suffering that we're in. Maybe it's the suffering of someone we love that they're going through now. Maybe it's the suffering of our country. And we feel those things. I'm afraid that television has taught us a different story. It's taught us, and now this. And with those words, we just leave behind everything that we just experienced, and we move on to something completely different, as if it weren't worth reflecting on anymore. But our faith teaches us to go deeper. Mary teaches us to go deeper and to ask our questions. Mary wasn't afraid to ask questions. She wasn't afraid to say to the angel, how can this be? I don't understand. I don't get it. She wasn't afraid to go deeper, and I don't know if her question was fully answered, but anyway, it moved her to the point. She understood something and a grace worked in her heart, and it helped her to take a step forward and say, yes, I believe and I trust you and I'm going to move forward now. And I experienced that also in my own grieving, that after shedding some tears and after feeling the pain, that I also have a strength that comes and I can say, I don't know why. Why do I have to lose my mother? Why do people have to die? Why do we have to go through that? I don't know. I can give you complex theological answers, but I do believe that God is in it and that I can take a step forward with Him. And I can say, yes, I can keep going and I will keep going. And I keep going toward a destination where we will come together again. That's what Our Lady teaches us, how to move from being deeply troubled to being able to say, yes, I believe that you are good, Lord, and that your will is good, and I want it. And what happens in that moment? Jesus emerges. In that moment, she conceived in her womb, and he was substantially present. Although she probably didn't feel anything, she touched him for the first time. And that's what happens in our own struggles, pain, grief. If we allow ourselves to feel it and stay in it with the Lord, to ask our questions and struggle with it from the inside, in a way, Jesus is conceived into that place, into that trouble, into that darkness, into that pain. And we walk forward with him with a new strength. So I want to invite you for a few more minutes of adoration, another 10 minutes or so, to go into those places. Don't be afraid. Jesus is here. The angel is here. The message that he's giving you is here. Feel those things. Stay in them. And allow the angel to accompany you to a place of trust, to say yes with Our Lady.